Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode number 59. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We are middle-aged and creeped out. I feel like I'm doing the end of it. How you doing, Nate?
Doing good. We're toddless tonight.
Oh, did you say topless?
Toddless.
Oh, toddless. That's right.
No hot toddy today.
No hot toddy. Yeah, so I was out last week, which was really kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
You guys did a couple minis, and now it's Todd's turn.
Now, you guys are making me earn my money.
I know, and the problem is you can never, like, we have to just cancel if you're out. It's like, nope, can't do it. So, yeah, Todd is under the weather. And he, a couple hours before we started here, he was saying, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. And that's not like Todd. Todd is like, we've joked about him being on his deathbed and just prop him up, you know.
Yeah.
So I know he's feeling pretty rough to not make
it.
Well,
like you said, he was like, give me 15 more minutes. Give me 15 more minutes. 15 minutes isn't going to change nothing.
I know. So anyway, he made a good decision. I told him it was up to him. If he felt like he could make it, great. If not, but you know, I'm proud of him for making the right decision.
Yeah.
I told him, I'm like, just take care of yourself. He saved my butt last week, you know, so.
Yeah.
And my week was.
And I go unmentioned.
Yes, you did also. No. You both saved my butt. But I'm just saying now we are saving his butt. So, no, you guys did awesome. I couldn't wait for those to drop. I told him, I said, I really am the
biggest fan. It was
fun, but
we missed you.
Yeah,
we work well as a three-piece suit.
Well, I told we really do. And Todd came out when he brought the laptop and he brought it back to our house and he jumped out of the car and he said, we did great and we did a good job together and it was fun, but we missed you and it really works best as a trio. And I was
it does.
I know.
So, as you're figuring out tonight.
Yeah.
I've already been through this once.
I know. Yeah, you're like, you're going to be great at this. Here, pretty soon, we're going to be like, yeah, we can't show up, Nate, but if you could just record these by yourself, that'd be awesome. We're just going to turn this into the Nate Show, right?
I hope not.
Yeah. So anyway, last week I had DEF CON, what I called affectionately DEF CON 5 week. Now, nobody died. I didn't lose my job. Everybody's still standing, you know, so it's not, I'm being a little bit dramatic, but I am glad. And I was telling people, I hope there's not a DEF CON 6 and not even 5.5, because I'm like, I don't think I can do this again. But I was telling you when I got here, I think I've worn out my reset button. You know, it's like, reset.
It broke.
Reset. 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 And I think it's broken. Yeah. So every morning it feels like I'm trying to reset. So, and I told somebody else at work, I said, it's good that I have an exceptionally good sense of humor or this would be really difficult to deal with. So,
like tonight you bring the computer over and during your DEF CON 5, discover that the hinge on the computer broke.
I may or may not have done that last week.
So I'm
part of it, yeah.
Yeah. And so then you bring it. It still works, but then I'm sitting there fumbling around with it, seeing if I can get the hinge to somewhat stay together. And yeah, I broke the screen.
Yeah. But you know what? It's all part of the process.
I'll fix it, though.
I know. I was like, here, Nate, fix this. And like, oops. But hey,
yep,
you did.
I'm going to have to fix it now.
You fixed it-ish. But
ish.
Yeah, we got to get this back in order before Todd comes back. But anyway, so yeah, we're going to get rid of that black cloud. I promise it's going away. Next week, we're all going to be better. We're all going to be well, right? I did tell somebody else too. It's funny that, it was like a couple times and I have honestly lost my cool a couple times. So in all seriousness, but I was like Jim Carrey with the Grinch. It was like, almost lost my cool there. But it's like, yeah, that's a joke because I really did a couple times like, oh my gosh, I can't take on another thing.
Well, and then me and Rachel have been dealing with Sammy, the podcast dog.
Yeah,
he's going through another one of his episodes.
Yeah,
so.
And he is right here with us, so he's looking good right now. But yeah, he's had a rough couple of days. It sounds like
we're on the road of figuring out what may be wrong with him, other than old doggy age.
Yeah, exactly.
So Yeah, we got word that it might be a thing called Addison's disease.
Addison's, yeah, yeah, people get that. So, yep.
So they say it's very rare, but thyroid. For him, being allergic to every known substance on mm-hmm. God's creation, it doesn't surprise me that he would have one of the rare things
right,
that exactly. a dog would get.
Yep.
But he's still kicking. He's doing better.
Yeah. Oh, I said thyroid. I meant adrenal glands. So, oops. Anyway. And we've already decided, and Todd will appreciate this, that we're going to make some mistakes tonight.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So we're going to start off by saying, Sammy, be well, right? We're going to take good care of Sammy. Todd, hot toddy, be well, right? Yeah. And we're going to get through this. We're going to have some fun. We are going to enjoy ourselves, and I'm going to try not to be super duper tangential. That's the trick. So we got some surprises for you. Anyway,
well,
so.
Unlike last week,
yeah.
We're doing a full, so...
Yes, we are.
Might have to be a little trans.
Yeah, we'd already announced it, so we're like, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's part of the fun of it, though, right? So I'm going to turn... Well, see, we've traded some parts, so Todd is going to appreciate this.
Yeah,
we're mixing this up a little
bit
here.
Agreed to take some of the load here.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to our man, Nate, and he's going to give you the first part of the announcements.
All right. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We have tons of merch.
Don't do the Anchorman.
Yeah.
You put it out there, I'm going to read it.
You put it there, I'm going to read it. That's what I'm doing.
Nate is a son of a monkey.
I get into like a zone. I just start reading the words.
Welcome to my world. I do it all the time.
So, yeah, we have merch. Anything, almost anything you can think of that you want our logo on to say, hey, I'm a loyal listener of the middle-aged and creeped out podcast. We can get that for you.
I heard you guys trying to steal my go get you some too during one of those minis.
Well, somebody had to say it. So I was like, go get you some.
I honestly, I smiled so big when you did that.
Oh, I was trying to cover all bases.
I was here in spirit, right?
And then we also like to support substance abuse and mental health.
We're going to need it tonight.
Yes, a lot. The hotline for those is 1-800-662-4357. And also the Suicide Veterans and Bullying Hotline is 1-800-273-8255, or you can text pound 838-255. And the bullying website is stopbullying.gov.
See, I want to tell you, first of all, thank you for giving those, that you did excellent. A couple things. This is all a ruse. Like last week never happened. Todd's not really sick. This is all a ruse. To get you, we're just starting to pass things over to you.
I don't want it.
You're like, no. Take it back.
I'm fine right where I'm at.
I wish that was true. Todd wishes that was true too. One thing I did want to mention, and we'll have to start putting this in there, is we are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and now we are on something new. We are on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Tweet, baby. Yeah, we are woofers and tweeters now. Oh, man. Yeah. I've been thinking a long time for that really bad dad joke. So... Todd will appreciate that. So we are on Twitter now too, and it's Middle Aged and Creeped Out or Mako Podcast. It's at Mako Podcast there too. So I'm getting used to the hashtags. I'm not a hashtag person, mm-hmm. but I am getting there. So anyway, so you can come find us in a bunch of places. So thank you for doing those. I really appreciate it.
I tried my best.
Oh, you did. What do you think, Todd? Todd, anything? No? Okay. Todd's not.
Well,
Todd has
been good. He didn't
catch
say nothing.
Got
speechless.
Tongue. Yeah, right. For a change, right? He'd say the same thing about me, right? All right, man. So this episode, we have a treat. We have been waiting to cover this, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to talk about the Crown Point Jail. It's the old Lake County Jail,
mm-hmm.
so up in Crown Point. I've been through there. I've never actually been to this jail, but I've heard so much about it, I feel like I have been there.
Yeah.
So
I would love to go there at some point.
Well, and we were talking about it because Aaron is actually inviting a group in June to do that. And you're like, do you think you want to do that? You want to like go up to up there and do it. And I was like, yeah, maybe we should talk to Todd. Well, we hadn't even gotten to do that. And then like the next day she's like, sold out.
Yeah.
So we'll wait for the next time.
Yeah.
But, or go up whenever, but, yeah.
So. Arrange our own.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. If she wants to join us.
Mm-hmm. So she is from, I know she's originally from Georgia actually. And then, but she lived in Crown Point. So that's kind of like her hometown. So that's why it's near and dear to her home, literally her home, her heart. And, so it is, it's a place that she likes to go to, like she enjoys going there. And I think it's a friend of hers, at least, I don't know if it's still the case, but it was when she went to visit, a friend of hers owns it.
Oh, okay.
Or runs it or whatever.
Yeah. So I didn't know that.
I'm not sure that's still the case, but.
Hmm.
So anyway, so that we're going to talk about that. Now I normally like to lay the groundwork, but we've been trying to do this where whoever's episode it is lays the groundwork, and it just so happens to be your pick.
Yeah.
So I'll let you get the bricks.
Well, just like last week, I will lay the foundation to this one. I will try. Again, don't shoot me. I am the sound engineer, not the host.
I think we're doing great so far. I think we might get fired. We are definitely not getting a raise. We are getting demoted. You're getting more, you know, we're going to give you some more stuff to do.
Yay. No.
Yay. No.
Yeah, no. Boo. Okay. Well, in 1840, the Crown Point was established as the county seat of Lake County, Indiana. A frame courthouse was built in 1849 on Clark Street. The building contained a courtroom, jury room, and sheriff's room. In 1851, a small wooden jail with heavy hardwood cross planking and cells defined by sheets of iron was added. The town and county developed rapidly in the next 30 years, and a new brick and stone courthouse was erected. In 1878, at the intersection of Main and Juliet Streets, the first permanent sheriff's residence in adjoining jail was built in 1882 at its present location at 226 South Main Street at a cost of $24,000. That is
cheap.
The jail measured 36 feet by 48 feet and contained six steel cells for males, four for females, and strong steel corridors. At the location, or as the local population grew, a larger jail was needed. So around 1908, the jail was replaced with a larger structure. And in 1928, another addition was made that extended the length of the jail through the block to East Street. The combined residence and jail included all of the facilities necessary for its purpose as a law enforcement institution. Located within the walls were the family's living area, warden's residence, department offices, 150 cells, maximum security accommodations, institutional kitchen, food storage, heating and cooling systems, a barber shop, and a garage.
Ooh. Stay for prison, get your haircut, right?
Yeah. So it was a one-stop shop.
Probably not park your car, though, right?
No.
And the sheriff's house and the jail are connected then, right?
Yes.
I understand it. Yes. Again, I've not been there, but when you look at it from, like, Google Maps, I was looking to see.
I do believe the front, like, if you're standing on Main Street, that is the residence. That's the...
Yes. The old sheriff's house.
Yeah, the sheriff's house.
And
yeah.
I forget what, I had it written down here. I had it pulled up somewhere. There's a certain, it was a law that the sheriff had to live on the premises. So that's why they
Yes, at that time, yeah.
The year 1920 is coming up in my head, but I don't know if that's right. Somewhere along the line, maybe it was in the 50s, I don't know. A lot of dates up here. There, they changed it to where they didn't have to live on the premises, but that's why that was designed that way, which I think that's interesting, honestly.
Yeah.
Is at least in Indiana law. It's probably a law in a lot of states, actually.
And then the jail was actually considered one of the finest in Indiana and thought to be escape-proof.
It was. Almost.
Almost.
Almost, right? Oh, yeah. We're my father loved and loves, I guess, still somewhere. He loved, like, gangsters. So he's big into Al Capone and all the mobsters and gangsters. John Dillinger is one of his favorites. Oh my gosh, no kidding. Bonnie and Clyde was another one of his favorites. But John Dillinger escaped from the jail on March 3rd, 1934. We're going to talk about him a little bit. He was called the Gentleman Bandit, which is a great name for him, because it was part of his lore is that if there were females around, he would just wink at them and tell them it was going to be okay. So he was, let's give it a little bit. John Herbert Dillinger, he was an American gangster during the Great Depression. He led the Dillinger Gang and was accused of robbing 24 banks and 4 police stations. Dillinger was imprisoned several times and escaped twice. He was charged with, but not convicted, of murder of an East Street, Chicago, Indiana police officer who shot Dillinger in his bulletproof vest during a shootout. It was the only time Dillinger was charged with homicide. And so he looks sly, doesn't he?
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I put a couple pictures on
Dapper.
He is Facebook, and he does. He just has that, like, I got this kind of look, you know, which was pretty cool. So, yeah, he's from Indianapolis originally. He died in Chicago. That was the woman in the red dress. If you watch, he was only 31 when he got basically
and he's, buried.
Down.
He's buried over in the cemetery here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it? I think it's Crown Point Cemetery, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. That's what I was.
I'll have to look that up.
Let's see here. Yep, you're right. Dillinger is buried at Crown Hill Cemetery.
Or Crown Hill.
Crown Hill, close enough. Well, yeah, right. We're talking about Crown Point. So Dillinger is buried at Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis. Dillinger's gravestone has been replaced several times because of vandalism. That happens a lot with famous people. By people chipping off pieces. That happened with James Dean as well in Fairmont. As souvenirs, Hilton Crouch, an associate of Dillinger's on some early heist, is buried only a few yards to the west. That's kind of interesting. So, yeah, it was supposed to be escape proof. Now, I saw a couple of stories. As I understand it, I always thought it was like a soap gun or a wooden gun that he carved.
I've always heard a wooden gun.
Yeah. So, I wasn't sure which one it was. I think in the movie, I want to say it was like soap. Maybe it was wooden. I don't know. But, so, it was some kind of a fake gun that he basically held up against the guard and said, you know, let me out. And so, then that's how he got out was pretty basic. And it made Crown Point and this jail obviously look like a bunch of fools, you know, which I'm sure he loved. So
then there's a couple other people jailed there.
Mm-hmm. Crony of Al Capone, right?
Yes. It was James Furr Sammons. Looks like Sammons.
I'm not correcting you at all tonight. That sounds great.
Ruthless hitman for Al Capone,
there
the Dune Slayer, who also escaped, and a woman named Anne, who killed her children.
Ooh, that's awful. Yeah. So a female was there, too. So yeah, you think about jails.
They had female cells.
That's weird. Yeah, you think about jails, and you don't think about, or you think if there's a prison, it's going to be a female prison, but yeah, they had.
Yeah, now it's a lot of things. Yeah, it's all separated now.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Well, right? I guess other than county.
Yeah.
I believe county jail would still house females and males.
Would this jail be considered?
Prisons are separated.
Right. Well,
I'm
right.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, this is a jail. So was this considered, though? This is my question is, would this be a hooscow?
Here you go. Use big words. I don't know what hooscow is.
No, it's like, it's. Or the pokey. No,
yeah, I know pokey.
That's
going
to lead us down a whole other road. So let's not go down there. Okay, Nate, we're diverting. Yeah, Todd would say, back up.
Hey, you guys fell off the rails.
Dang it. How many minutes are we in? We've already fallen off. A couple things, though. We wanted to talk about definitely that, you know, we already mentioned that this is Aaron's favorite, but, and you're going to, we've got her book. We actually have a couple of her books.
I don't know if it's her favorite. It's one.
Well.
Or one of her scariest events.
This is a good.
Too.
Yeah. Because, well, she said she likes to go into asylum and jails, but they're also the darkest.
Yeah.
And you're right. But she's got one of her best stories.
So it's a hate love, I think. With her.
You're going to cover it a little bit more, too. I know you're going to look into her, you know, actual stories there. So we'll share some of that with you. She'll appreciate this because we got to meet her mother, too, when we were down at Waverly, which is really fun. She was part of the group that was down there a few weeks back. And she was it was interesting to meet her mom. Her mom was the sweetest lady. And she even said she worries about Aaron. I was like, well, you worry about Aaron, you know, weren't she not even our daughter? But, yeah, so it was, she got to kind of reiterate some of this, the interesting aspects of the story and how true, like, everything she put, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in this jail. Now, see, so they made a movie called Public Enemy about John Dillinger, mm-hmm. and Johnny Depp played him, which Johnny Depp, by the way, is in all kind of craziness right now in the courtrooms. It's like, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, we could talk about that one right now, but I don't know. You can't take sides, but the poor guy or poor her. I'm not sure who's the poor, but I can't imagine going through.
Neither are poor. They got money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no kidding. And they're throwing it back and forth at each other apparently. But anyway, no judgment. Don't know what's going on there, but I've seen his face a lot today. But anyway, so they made Public Enemy, and Aaron told us that jail's like worn down. And I think they've been trying for the last couple of years to get, you know, so upgraded.
Revitalize it.
Exactly. Yeah. Do some renovations. But she said it's in pretty poor shape. Now, where it is not in poor shape is the part where they did the filming for the Public Enemy and showed the breakout scene,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. But she said, so that's the only part that like looks like Hollywood for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. But, she said that her and her mom were visiting, and they heard, you know, I watch a lot of videos on this, you know, obviously with Aaron's stories, but she saw, you know, they heard loud banging, like the cells clanging and banging, cell doors slamming. They were just sitting there observing, and they're, you know, she always does dark nights, so I assume this is mm-hmm. the night. And there wasn't anybody, I think just the person that had been showing them around was there. And she thought it was like, it looked like a bat flying mm-hmm. around. And she's like, what's that bat? And then her and her mom are like, that's not a bat. And it looked like a big, almost like a black orb or basketball. Mm-hmm. I think she described it as one.
Yeah, it kept looking getting at it. Bigger as it got closer.
Yeah. And so it was like circling them. And her mom started like going into this kind of trance.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't remember it. Although Aaron's got video. She said she won't show very many people because it's scary. But her mom almost, it seemed like after it was all said and done, was like she got possessed or was starting to get possessed mm-hmm. by whatever this thing was. Because this thing went upstairs and her mom's like, Aaron was immediately like, this is a dark force. I'm getting a bad feeling. We're getting out of here, mom. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom's like, no, we need to go upstairs, and started talking this like monotone voice. And so she started going upstairs, and she told her mom, like, if you go up there, I'm not coming after you, like, you're stuck up there. So she had to physically pull her mom
mm-hmm.
and snap her out of it, and it took a while, it sounded like. But she, that's just so spooky to me to hear. Todd just texted, and he said, tell the creepiest hello. So hello from Todd. He'll know exactly what part this is, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, see, he's missing us. But anyway, so the excellent story. And like I said, when her mom was telling it, it was just really interesting. Like I said, but she's had some really spooky things happen there. And like I said, there's a lot of stories. When you go there, it sounds, that's why I can't wait to go there sometime. I think we're going to be creeped out.
Yeah.
But they said, you are going to have experiences there. That is a place. It's kind of like Waverly. And we had some experiences at Waverly. You're going to go there. You're going to feel a presence. You're going to feel something going on there. There have been so many nefarious characters come through there, murderers and violent offenders. There was a guy named, I wrote down, Arthur Carr, and he killed his uncle. And they said he was one of the roughest kind of characters there is, and he was there. But they said that the ghosts of some of these people and the spirits of some of these people are still there, just with their evil intentions and you know, that horrible weight of their lives still stuck there. So that stuck dark energy, and it's just, it makes this place fascinating to me.
Oh yeah,
I love to say fascinating, by the way, if you haven't been able to tell over all these episodes.
Well, fascinating. The structure's old, so it just adds to the character when you walk in there and just see the brick laid walls and everything, just the old way of construction, just makes it a lot of nostalgia.
I was trying to figure out, there was a lady, they had it on the local news there, and so they had this, and it must have been around Halloween, because they were talking about it as, you know, taking some of the haunted tours through there. And there was this lady that was talking about, they had a edited version and an unedited version, so I watched both. And she was trying to explain the history of the place and all the experiences she's had. And she said, it is a place that there's some major dark spirits there. And she had said you know, she's been in there a lot, but she will not go by herself. She said, I won't stay here by myself. I won't be in here by myself. And she was explaining same thing as what Aaron was talking about, was loud banging, cells door slamming, dark orbs, shadow figures. There is that. And I think she described it like some kind of a tunnel. So I don't know if this was underneath, if it has a tunnel system, which a lot of these places do, or if it was the in between, like the sheriff's house and the jail. I wasn't quite, like I said, I haven't gone through there, so it's hard to know exactly what she's talking about, but some kind of a tunnel room that's kind of narrow. And she said that she has had people experience it, and she has too. If you go through there, you just feel like you're being watched, and then you'll see shadow people out of the corner of your eye. And she said that one person was so freaked out because they like turned around and there was a shadow person like right up on them. And so just stories like that. There were so many of those of just people just skin crawling kind of stories and experiences there. So I, you know, if nothing else, we want to pique your interest into looking into this place. And I mean, not everybody's going to be like Aaron or even as crazy as us to say, hey, yeah, we're going to go to that place. But, you know, just look into it. Watch some of these videos, you know, look at some of these experiences because they're pretty creepy.
Yeah. What I see here is stories have emerged about haunting at the jail.
Ooh, let's do it.
Apparitions have been seen in cells and corridors. Strange photographs have been taken, doors open and close by themselves, lights turn on and off, and disembodied footsteps and voices have often been reported by volunteers and visitors.
It is. It's definitely a haunted place, right? And Aaron's stories are fascinating. I mean, I don't know if you, like I said, we could sit there and read her entire chapter on it. It is fascinating, but like, and I know I already kind of told the orb story, but she's all, you know, it is definitely, in her opinion, a very, very haunted place. And like I said, not one of those like fun little, you know, yay, this is, you know, just a couple ghosts here, Scooby-Doo gang gonna, you know, figure out who's doing this. It is, like I said, dark, nefarious, creatures or entities that are still lingering here.
All right. Well, I guess I'll get in on some of Aaron's personal experiences there on her investigations from her book. If you want a good read, I suggest getting this because she is a great writer and it's easy to read and she's had some adventures.
I was going
to
say, I feel a plug coming on. A plug coming on. A little louder.
In this story of her visit there, she actually went with her husband, which mentioned to us that
he's not been back, right?
Yeah, he doesn't like going on these.
This was his first and last.
going through this real quickly and seeing some of this, they had some fun.
I have you knocking in your, like, shaking in your boots, right?
Yeah.
I started to say that wrong.
The one thing that I enjoyed was where were they at? Well, I mean, they're hearing stuff. They heard crashing from the floor from which they just came from. Sounded like furniture was being moved around or cell door slamming. Nonetheless, it was really loud, and she had told her husband it was late and we should go. Then she heard an intake of breath right in her ear.
Oh, that's creepy.
And then felt a gust of air on her face. She was like, this thing just blew in my face. And her husband was standing about 6 feet away and saw her hair lift off of her face. And he was stunned.
Wow. Yeah.
She was stunned. And she was like, yep, it's time to leave.
We're done. We got to go now.
And he vowed never to go back again.
Yeah. The end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably, I don't know. We're waiting for that kind of an experience, right? Like,
yeah.
You know,
we haven't gone into it. We haven't done our episode on going to Waverly. Mm-hmm. But
so we got
a little sneak peek. I did hear like a sigh.
Yeah, you did.
And Aaron and her mom were next to us, and they're like, did you hear that?
Yeah.
And I was like, a sigh? And she's like, yeah. I was like, yep. It was like right next to me.
Yeah. And we,
because I walked into one of the other rooms while they're in the hallway.
Right.
And there used to be, I imagine, a window separating the hallway from this room, but it's no longer there. So I could easily just look over the wall and talk to them.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that was a crazy experience. Because I walked in there and I just heard a,
yeah, you told us, you couldn't wait to tell us. I'm like, oh my gosh. And we were, because we had been, we kept splitting up and stuff. But yeah, we heard things. We saw something. And so we, yeah, I can't wait to tell you those things. We got to wait for Todd to be back though.
Oh yeah. No,
but yeah,
we'll do a full zinger on that one.
Yeah. If you go with Aaron, you're going to have something happen, right? I mean, we had stuff at Whispering Estates happen too, but
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Not as hot as what some people have had, but
yeah. Well, that's right, because, yeah, there was a recent investigation there. Hillbilly Horror Stories, Jerry and Tracy were there.
Yeah. They had a lot more stuff happen than what we did.
Yeah, they had a great night. Yeah. So, and that's fine, but the night we were there, I don't mean to be tangential, like I said I wasn't going to do, but the night we were there, the lady was telling us the night before, the spirits were all wild and crazy, so they were taking a break the night we were there, apparently. So,
yep, anyway. They're all spent.
Yeah. They hear us coming, I think. That might be part of it. One thing I wanted to read, it was from the Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee. They have claims of activity there, and we've kind of gone over these, but it's kind of interesting to consolidate all these. So, voices heard throughout the sheriff's quarters and jail, apparitions seen in the intake room, object manipulation throughout the building, which we talked about, an uneasy feeling in a storage room on the top floor. Now, those uneasy feelings, it sounds like they're in a lot of places around there in cells. Heavy breathing heard in cells on the first floor. Capturing of EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, we know that. Orbs captured on photographs, physical movement in solitary confinement, cold spots felt, disembodied voices heard, and shadows seen on various occasions. And I mean, there were some deaths in this place too.
Of course.
Suicide, you know, people do that. They commit suicide. There are people that hurt, you know, obviously criminals that hurt each other,
They get sick and, you know, I don't think there's a jail anywhere that hasn't been some sort of death in it.
I think if anything we can impress in this episode, don't go to jail, don't go to prison, don't go to jail. And I mean, that's a bad idea anyway, but like, can you imagine how, so if some of these places were still opened, and I bet, you know, even modern jails and modern prisons right now are probably haunted in their own right. But some of these old ones, some of these old ones are still open, and I'm sure there are some that are still open in some places. That would be spooky. I mean, you've done something dumb. You got caught doing something. You're in jail. And then can you imagine being like, you know, terrified or terrorized by some of these entities? It's like Alcatraz, you know?
Yeah.
You'd
wake up middle of the night and you have a shadow figure on the side of your cot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No bueno. I don't like that.
There's a website called hauntedhouses.com, and at Crown Point, Indiana, the Crown Point Sheriff's House. It says it is still a spectral jail for some, causing paranormal activity. The escape of John Dillinger has been has caused restlessness, so they feel like that is part of it. So it gives a description of the stuff that we've already talked about. You know, when it was made in 1882, it did say also that. I did find the year, it was 1958 that they were supposed to live on the premises. So
Dillinger, when he escaped, he also stole the sheriff's car.
Yes, that's true. I'm glad we got to keep bringing it back to Dillinger, because that's a great part of the story, right? Yeah, he was something else, wasn't he?
Oh,
he was
yeah.
a class act. I said that he's the gentleman bandit, but like, and again, I even wrote it down. He'd wink at the women and tell them not to worry during robberies with a smile on his face. And even some of the pictures they had of him when he was, you know, his mugshots, you know, he's all cool, you know. And in the courtroom, he's just chilling out.
Some say his ghost haunts that place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So. They say, even though he was killed in Chicago, I mean, it's still, he left an imprint there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But they said in his press conference, you know, he just seems so, cool, calm, and collected there. And it's just, yeah, he's an interesting cat. So it says the large two-story brick jail with its own tall chimney is located in the back of the building. It isn't very good shape inside, which you talked about that as well. It's having work done. We talked about that as well. So this team that was investigating, I think it looked like it was husband and wife, They arrived and they said it's larger and spookier and more imposing than the pictures even show. And the pictures are spooky if you look at them. So when you're there, it talks about how they were feeling that, the energy shift, you know? So while it's closed, they peeked into the large front window. They said that they, the pictures do not catch the real aura and character of this fine Victorian building. And the spookiness of the place comes through loud and clear. So they delve into all the history and all that kind of stuff. But so the section that I wanted to really point out is manifestations through this I'm losing the ability to speak yet again, yet another night.
We need to manifest this.
I need to manifest myself. All right, here we go. So though this jail was closed since the 1970s, an entity or two has stuck. Perhaps a prisoner is still being held here, though in reality was freed long ago from this period of time of being in custody in the jail. Personal reports from living and photos taken of the jail window and inside the building point to this being an apparition. Or perhaps the entity is of a guard or a law officer who was fooled by Dillinger's fake gun. So that's another good point, is that you don't just have the spirits stuck there, but all the people, you know, we talk about hospitals and other places where people came day in and day out to do a job, you know, and those are stressful jobs, you know, doing the police work, doing security detail with all these people that I guarantee you are yelling, screaming obscenities and threatening your life and your children's life. I know my wife, I mean, at her hospital, she's like, yeah, it's pretty normal for me to get threatened. You know, you they threaten your life, they threaten the kids' lives, you know, and that just happens, you know, psych units and facilities, that happens too. But in these jails, you can only imagine how poorly you're treated. So if your energy's stuck there, it's probably not going to be super positive. But it says the back portion, of the Crown Point Sheriff's House building, the cell doors have the habit of opening and closing by themselves. We've said that. Some unseen entity seems to be trying the bars of the cells, looking for a loose one, because that's a good point too. Yeah, trying to take off.
Rattling.
That sounds like, yeah, it sounds like a, almost like a cartoon, you know, like, let's unscrew and sneak out. looking for a loose one because the living have heard the bars rattling in the cells with no living person in sight. In this case, the other haunted places, the unseen entity is fascinating with electricity. They can feel that presence, and it looks like this can even affect the lights turning on and off. So I thought that was interesting. Voices, footsteps have been heard in here, and with no one else inside the jail, which is also what Aaron was saying. And it says, is it still haunted? They say, yes, indeed. Pictures taken by ghost hunters from Northwest Indiana Ghost Trackers, paranormal investigation, point to the fact that this jail is haunted by one or two entities at least. When blown up, some pictures clearly show an apparition standing by one of the jail's barred windows. Looking outside in the camera, an apparition standing in the jail area, in this, there's a picture here too in this article, shows of an orb that's just like hovering
over
table.
The table. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you saw that one?
Yeah.
It says in the picture below, there's an orb over this table. So they, from what they saw and heard and experienced and all the stories they collected, it's a pretty long investigation. So, but they were like, this place is haunted. So
yeah, I want to go.
It's interesting. All the stories and the videos out there, they just point, it's just like Aaron said, this place is a place to go, but it's not for the faint of heart. Like I would not recommend, you know, you can look into it all you want. You can look at from afar, let Aaron tell you what her experiences are and let some of these other paranormal investigators tell you, because it's a pretty creepy place. But
yeah,
it's just, you know, we've looked at so many different places. You have
one of the more intense places
it
to
is.
Go.
Yeah, it
investigate.
Really is.
Yeah.
Well, and then, like so we said before, and then Aaron's told us, those asylums and jails, there's just bad stuff happened, you know, and it sticks there. So anyway.
Heavy anger energy.
You don't think they're happy? They weren't happy to be there?
Maybe some of them.
Yeah, right. That's right. You know,
three square meals and heat.
Yeah, I'd say internet there, but they wouldn't have had internet back then, right?
They had pigeon mail.
Yeah, they did. So I don't know. This is two thumbs up again for this place. We are definitely, this is on our list. I'll write that down.
Oh,
right? Todd would tell me to write this down.
Write that down.
I'll be writing that
this
down.
This one's definitely on the list.
Yeah, it has been on the list. So whether we go with Aaron or another group, or, you know, Linda might come with us, or we just head up there by ourselves. It's not too far. It's a couple hours away, right? Grand Point?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's two and a half, three. Yeah, it's like 2.5, 3 to get to Chicago. So it's on the way up there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we appreciate you guys listening to that. So I have my middle-aged moment. So I got to get into that. And I told you I would
fumble around. Gonna have a moment, huh?
Well, I'm having a moment by getting my phone to actually work. So, okay, so I have a little backstory on this, and this backstory goes all the way back to when I got here. So, music was playing. And I was telling Nate, I explained to him that Todd wasn't going to be here, and he was blaring Metallica, "Nothing Else Matters," playing along with it. Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah,
it sounded great. I mean, it really did. And I have so many different ways I can go, whether I'm doing the middle-aged moment or dark side. And I was like, I'm going dark side tonight. And with this place, honestly, it is definitely a dark side to it. So oh, yeah. This will work out perfect. We are also drinking a little bourbon. Don't tell Todd. Wait, Todd, we're drinking. Maybe just, I'm only sipping it.
Sipping.
We are clinking cheers here, right? And it is Metallica's Blackened, or at least sponsored by Metallica. You told me that each one has a number.
Each barrel has a batch number.
Uh huh.
And
it's on Metallica, it's on the bottle.
And you can get on the website, and it will show you which Metallica songs were played to that barrel while it sat and aged.
That's freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is awesome. You said so, it like oscillates to the music.
Yeah, moves the molecules and.
So
makes
each,
it respond
each one, yeah.
to the charred brandy barrels.
So I'm going to assume, you said you looked at this one, like, was...
Yeah, I can't. I know one was one of the songs, and...
We're going to...
But a lot of them have the same songs, too, but then the order's changed.
Oh, I see. So that gives it a different feel, flavor.
Yeah, moves differently at different times, and...
Well, as I've been sipping it slowly, right, so that I can get through this... I think that it was definitely Nothing Else Matters was definitely played to this.
I'm sure.
And we're gonna make it up even if it wasn't. So this is by Metallica, Nothing Else Matters. Todd would love this. I know he loves this song. I know he loves Metallica. So he's gonna be sorry he missed it, but we're doing this partly for you and in your absence here, Todd, too. So this goes out to you, my friend, my brother, our brother, right? So close, no matter how far. Couldn't be much more from the heart. Forever trust who we are, and nothing else matters. It's hard not to sing it. Never opened myself this way. Life is ours. We live it our way. All these words I don't just say, and nothing else matters. Trust I seek, and I find in you. Every day for us something new. Open mind for a different view, and nothing else matters. Never cared for what they do. Never cared for what they know. But I know. So close, no matter how far. Couldn't be much more from the heart. Forever, trust in who we are, and nothing else matters. So never cared for what they do, never cared for what they know, but I know. Never opened myself this way. Life is ours. We live it our way. All these words I don't just say, and nothing else matters. So trust I seek and I find in you every day for us something new. Open mind for a different view, and nothing else matters. So never cared for what I say. You know, I'm going to start singing if I go the rest. So goes on. Never cared for what they said. Never cared for the games they play. Never cared for what they do. Never. And we're getting, you should be, let's just whip out a guitar and start doing this. Never care for what they know. And yeah, I know. So anyway, so close, no matter how far, couldn't be much more from the heart. Forever trust in who we are. No, nothing else matters. So it's such a deep song. I've loved this song ever since it came out. I love listening to Metallica. There are moods that I get into it, like I need to listen to some heavy metal music, and Metallica is not the only go-to, but it is definitely a go-to. And now bourbon.
Yeah. Well, I found the list for our bottle.
Is Nothing Else Matters on it?
Number one was Whiplash.
Well, there we go. We'll take that.
Number two was Battery. And number three was One. Okay. Number four, The Four Horsemen.
Nice.
Five, The Day That Never Comes.
Nice.
Six, Damage Inc. And number seven, Nothing Else Matters.
Yes, that makes me so happy. I was going to just make it up either way, so I was fine with it. But all right, so that is my middle age. No, that's not my middle age moment. Strike that. I'm just kidding. That was my dark side.
Dark side.
I got to still get used to the fact that I'm doing different ones. Mm-hmm. And it's also weird that, like, you and I have, I told you, I'm like, I'm just going to take everything over. It's okay. And you're like, no, dude, just let me have some of these parts. And I'm like, okay. So this sounds a lot of order. It's because it is.
Of course it is.
But I'm telling you, though, like those words resonate with me. Like mm-hmm. last week was hard, but I know that, dude, it's going to be fine. Like things are going to get better, you know, and it's just, it really is like you just got to do you. I was talking, we had a patient today. We've had actually a couple of, we're seeing younger and younger people. And when I say younger, I'm talking like in their 40s. We've had a couple, what I consider young strokes. And one of them is really close to my heart because he's in his upper 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, I'm not going to give too much. This is not like a HIPAA breach or anything, but he's got tattoos everywhere. Super nice guy. He's even said, I've made some bad mistakes trying to make him better. And just a super, like, but he's in a rough place right now because part of his body doesn't work like it's supposed to. And there are times where some patients like really take well when I start like kind of spieling to him about the healing process, you know, and how to get through it. And, mm-hmm. and he's one that really, you can tell he's close to being, he's just like I'm not a crier, but man, if I could, it'd just come out. And he's the same way. You can tell he's just, he needs a good cry, but he's like, nah, I do that stuff in private. So, but it's such an emotional process. And I told him, I'm like, look, healing is, first of all, it's a day by day process. Number two, you got to give yourself some grace. And it's easy for me to say, it's not easy for me to do when I have to do it. So I told him, I'm like, try. It's a process, right? And you have to, you know, take it. Progress doesn't go in a straight line up unless you win the lottery or you get a big inheritance. otherwise, it goes up a little bit. It might go down. It might plateau. But as long as the trajectory is going up, you're making progress. And
how you want your stocks to go.
Exactly right. Trajectory up. And so that's how I look at it. Not just with therapy, though. I've said this before. We're in a process of breaking down and building up. And we go through, you know, I go through a rough week. Todd gets sick. You go through rough. We've helped each other through so many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, Todd's going to get better. My life's going to get straightened back out. Everything's going to be fine. You know, we're all here for each other, holding each other up. You know, the triangle effect. And so that's what we want to remind you guys, that no matter how, and I guarantee you there are creepies out there that their lives are so much worse than what I've ever gone through. Yeah. I feel like I've gone through some dark times, rough times. I know you have. I know Todd has. And it's like, it could always be worse. And you've just got to, Todd said this a bazillion times, you got to hold on to that hope. There's got to be hope and you've mm-hmm. got to hold on to it. You got to ride it through the storm. So anyway, soapbox over. So anyway, that was my dark side. And because I have one, you know.
We all do.
I appreciate you guys listening to that. And I am going to relinquish my announcements. Maybe forever. No, I'm just kidding. Just for this episode. And Nate's got your second part of the announcements before that we let you guys go.
All right. We have an email address. You can get a hold of us anytime. It is makopodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Two ways. Yep.
Two ways.
Perfect. People still have email addresses, right? We do.
Yeah. We got one.
Yeah.
Then we also have Tuesday Terrors on Thursday.
That's right. I was going to say, if you didn't say Thursday, I was going to say it.
No, check them out. They're really good. Todd and Sean, they do a very, very good job on those. Come out every Tuesday on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah. And I tried to put it on
And sometimes on Facebook.
Yeah, it's always that's on where Facebook. I see them. Yeah, it's on Facebook, Instagram, too. TikTok. I tried to do it on Twitter. Twitter came up and said, no videos more than 220. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So we can't make those less than 220. I mean, maybe every once in a while I can put it on there, but I don't think we're going to try to put it on Twitter, unfortunately. So,
oh, well.
Anyway, that's all right. Such is life, right?
And then come check us out on whatever listening platforms you and your friends enjoy listening to. We haven't really found any that we're not on. And while you're doing that, if it gives you the option of ratings and review, give us a 5-star, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We're That's nice all guys. There
is, right? We are. Yeah.
It's the only option, anyhow.
Say nice 5-star. Say something nice, please. Just do it. You know you want to. The other thing is word of mouth. I always forget that. Yep, I know
word of
not,
mouth.
Yeah. So, just if you like us, tell somebody. Tell a lot of somebodies, the people you would think that would enjoy us as well, because we want to brighten your day and we want to brighten as many people's day as we can. And those things really do help this show to build and
it
allow
does.
Us
it
to
makes it easier
allow
to
allow us to stay here. It does. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build our show so that we can continue to do this and be in your ears for as long as we can until we're old and creeped out. Mm-hmm. that's not going to sound as good, is it? No.
Old and creepy.
We may have to readjust this show, right?
Old, creepy, and crispy.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that show. All right, man. So thank you guys for listening. And what you got to say, Nate?
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters. Yes.
That's a wrap.
Nailed it. Love it. All right. Thank you, everyone out there, creepies, listening to episode number 59 on the Crown Point Jail. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your host, Todd and Sean. Todd's not here. And we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.